We play for keeps, Cuddy. You ain't heard about the huddle fire with no with D-Lane. We tryna get it off the muscle. Walters caught the pick and ran it back without a tussle. Blow the whistle, coach, it's time to get back to the huddle.
Welcome to the 510 Huddle. It's your boy, Coach D-Lane, and I'm in with my brother once again, Keaton. How you doing today, bro? All good, man. All good. Can't complain. How you doing today?
I'm just chilling. Man, I'm just chilling. Just another day in paradise here.
This guy. Okay, all good, man. Well, we got a lot to talk about. We actually got a special guest calling in as well. My guy, Lorenzo, a friend of the pod, been on a few times. The listeners know. Just talked to Keaton about Zoe a little while ago, so we'll have a real good in-depth conversation and get some insight on the Rams. He's a writer and covers the Rams right now, the Los Angeles Rams, so he'll be able to give us a little bit about their training camp and how things are going with them. Are they poised to repeat or not? We'll see. And we got a bunch of other stuff, but let's start with college, brother. I got a question for you because I know you love your college football, and I actually didn't send you this on the script purposely, because I want to see where your head is at with this. So, okay. It's three programs. I believe all three of these programs are in a similar state right now, as far as I believe. Each of these three programs, head coaches are in either their first or second year. And we know in college, right, brother, for a new coach, it usually takes, you know, that second, third year as far as to get that second wave, the second, third recruiting class in of your own guys, correct? So I was just thinking, because I know a few of these schools, like I said, got new coaches, splashy coaches. And a few of them got some top prospects already for this year's class and next year's class. So my question is, who turns it around faster, and who's back on the scene, college playoff football, competing for national championships within the next 2 to 3 years? Is it Miami, Texas, or USC?
So we're talking about really competing for championships and not just getting to the playoff, because just because you're in the playoff, to me, that really does not mean that you're really competing.
I will agree with that once they further expand it, because they start talking about expanding the playoffs, right? It's still only 6 to 8. That's tough to get in.
But as of right now, it's still 4.
Okay, so that's still tough to get into, if you ask me. But I feel like once they expand it a little more, I can feel you a little more on that point.
I mean,
being the top 4 school in the nation is still tough, brother.
It is, but it's still a little bit subjective. I mean, me personally, the last couple of years when Oklahoma or Notre Dame have gone, I personally knew they had no chance. They were pretty much just like fillers. For me, in college football, there's usually a clear gap between like the top two teams. Sometimes there's 3, but it's rarely there's really 4. So for me, that 4th team is kind of a filler. Expanding it just makes it more quote unquote fun. It just adds more injury risk for players, in my own opinion. But to get back on track, in terms of just getting to a Final Four, I would say USC for sure. I think with what Lincoln Riley has with Caleb Williams, and he has him for this year and also next year, I think Caleb Williams is good enough with just good players around him to get them there, especially with the diluted Pac-12, and they won't be in the Big Ten yet. I think they can get there, but in terms of actually competing to win one, my heart wants to say Miami, just because of like that Florida base and all that. But honestly, I'm gonna say Texas. I just think that.
Well, hold on, fool! You just said all three schools. Which one are you picking? You picking USC or you picking Texas?
No, to win one is Texas.
Got you.
But like, to get to a Final Four, like, quickly, it's
USC.
It's USC, just for, like, the sake of your question, to, like, get to one, it would be USC. But to actually win one out of those three schools, I would pick Texas.
Got you. Got you.
Okay. I just think with the NIL, those Texas boosters will spare no expense. They have blue chip quarterbacks in that state that they've been keeping home. I like Sark when it comes to offense. And I liked what they did last year. Unfortunately, they did some usual Texas crap, which is just fall apart. But even when those games at the back end of last year that they were losing, I actually liked a lot of what I saw from them. They just have to learn to finish games. And I think that was also more so just having a lack of the developed talent from like the previous regimes, which is weird to me because Texas, they're littered with 4- and 5-star recruits. And this is what I always tell people. I refuse to believe at schools like that, Miami, Florida State, USC, that those are all misses. I don't blame kids. Like, I blame the coaching staff for not developing those kids. So I do think Sark will bring a different element there to where they actually can win one.
Do you know who out of the three brother coming into this year? Do you know who has the higher recruiting class right now?
Coming into the year, at first it was Texas, but USC did close really strong. So I forget where they finished, and also like every single recruiting site, they vary with how they rank guys. So it's kind of subjective. But in my opinion, from what I did see, it actually was Texas for what they brought in.
Okay. Last one quickly on college before we move forward on the local teams. Are you a fan of expanding the playoffs or no?
No. I just think it's filler. More blowouts coming. I mean, the game between 1 and 4 is already a blowout. So we want to add teams 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm sorry. Like, this is not the NFL.
Well,
every football.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Every year, like you just said, as you've been stating, it's been, you know, 1 or 2 filler teams, correct?
Yeah.
At least as far as I've seen, especially early on in the college football playoffs, the first couple of years, I can't remember the school, but it's been a few years since the playoffs had college football playoffs has existed. It's been a few times in a few years in a few schools that didn't make it, that should have made it, right? I think it was Baylor.
You can objectively say that. I mean, the first year when my Buckeyes kind of jumped in over TCU and Baylor.
So that's Baylor. Yep,
you definitely could say that, but they were the best team in the country, so they ended up getting it right.
Okay.
So, as much as with the previous rankings, it should have been that way, they ultimately did get it right, and I'm not being biased. Like, they ultimately did get it right.
So ultimately, you're good with keeping it fine.
Yeah, I am, because at the end of the day, I'm sorry, there's usually a big gap between the top two teams and then usually three, but I'll be nice and say the top three teams and then number four. There's, like, no matter what NFL talent that fourth team has, there's a huge gap. And I just don't see, at least any time in the foreseeable future, where teams 4, 5, 6, unless a team is misseeded or something like that happens. I mean, people want more opportunities for other schools and other conferences, but all that's going to do is it's going to have like three SEC teams in, four SEC teams in. I mean, and then maybe two Big Ten teams. So it's going to be the same thing with the same conferences. I'm really not a fan. I'm truly not a fan of it.
Got you. Let's move on here to some of our local teams. Let's start with the Niners, man. I'm hearing reports that possibly Jimmy G may be staying on the roster to like the deadline, August 30th. What's your thoughts on that, man? I thought they would let him go at this point. Clearly, you can't find a trade partner. What are you holding on to?
So that was kind of what I was saying in the first pod of what I thought they would do, because that was the approach that I was hearing, that they're going to try to exhaust every opportunity for a trade, and then they're going to wait till the very last day and basically squeeze him and say, you take $10 million for nothing. And I think that's where they're headed. I don't see the Browns trading for him, no matter what happens with the Deshaun Watson thing. The Giants, unless Daniel Jones gets hurt, I don't see that happening. So I think his best bet, honestly, because Trey Lance last year, as big and as strong as he is, he played two games and he got hurt in both games. This is a little bit of the Carson Wentz thing where... And I don't want to same helmet scout, but two North Dakota State guys from the FCS, they're not used to that physicality the same way. So it is a big jump. And he played in two games and got hurt twice. And Carson Wentz, as you know, being an Eagles fan, even though he's had his moments, he has not been reliable when it comes to durability for a lot of his career. So if I'm the Niners, fucked up as it is, you have to squeeze him and keep him on the roster because they have a Super Bowl team, so you just keep him.
So you think they keep him into the season now?
Yeah, I think they should. Now, whether Kyle will or not, that will remain to be seen, because at the end of the day, you need a backup quarterback. And if Trey Lance can't handle somebody else being there, even when Kyle has turned the job and team over to him, if he just can't handle Jimmy's just sitting there, and Jimmy's not like this top flight quarterback, if he can't handle that, then he's not cut out for the job. Because there's going to be a lot more pressure than just Jimmy Garoppolo when you're a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, see, I got a team that I think should trade for him, Keaton, right now. And I don't believe I mentioned them last time. I know I mentioned the Steelers. No, I mentioned the Seahawks last time, right? I like the Steelers. I like the Steelers for Jimmy G. I like the Steelers for Jimmy G, Keaton. I like them. Defense led. It's very similar to you don't have that dominant tight end, like a superstar tight end, like you do in Frisco. But offensive run based team, defensive minded football team, real tough nose and gritty. Defensive minded head coach, and Mike Tomlin, a young running back that you can feed the ball to at least 20 touches a game, I believe Najee Harris should be getting next season. I love the Steelers fit more the more I've been thinking about it. What do you think? Jimmy G to the Steelers.
I mean, the fit is nice. I mean, but realistically, I just don't see that. Like, look, I'm not a
kid. You wouldn't trade a fourth or a fifth for him? If you're the Steelers, I would, just because I don't feel comfortable when you look at that. What is that? The NFC or AFC? That's the AFC North, brother. I don't feel comfortable. You by far have the worst quarterback in that division going into this season. I don't feel comfortable. Mitchell Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, or Kenny Pickett being my starting quarterback when you got Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow on the opposite sidelines within the division.
Yeah, but I don't think he gives you more than what Mitchell Trubisky will.
I think he gives you a lot more, especially accuracy-wise. Versus
I don't think so, because Kyle and... So here's the thing. He had arguably the two best offensive coordinators in his entire career for his entire career, and they both wanted to get rid of him. And they'd always scheme up things to get guys.
Well, open. No, Bill still, wanted to elevate him. Bill wanted to elevate him.
No, Bill did, but Josh McDaniels didn't want him, and that's known.
I will say this: his numbers don't blow you away with those two hot shot play callers, but they're damn good when you look at. I think he threw for like 68, 67 completion percentage last year, Keaton. Like, he's accurate, bro. He it's just his decision making. And his availability at the end of the day sometimes. 17 games, he's going to give you 13 to 14. You know, like, that's just Jimmy. But I would take that over walking into the season with Trubisky any day.
I will, because I don't think he's more accurate than him. And also, Mitch also brings an extra element with the run game, too, that Jimmy does not.
So you'll rather walk into the season with Mitchell.
Yeah, because I think Mitch has shown more. Honestly, like, I'm not a Matt Nagy fan at all with his offense and what he had. And Mitchell Trubisky got to the postseason, what, twice?
I felt like that was more of a credit to Nagy. I wasn't a huge fan of Nagy either, but I knew where he was coming under the Andy Reid tree. At the end of the day, if you are under Andy and you're on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to be able to call it, and you know how to scheme up offense. So I thought it was more of a feather under Nagy's cap making it to the playoffs.
I hated their offense, man.
I felt like he was handicapped with Trubisky, bro. I felt like it reminded me – their offense reminded me of what Frisco's offense looked like with Jimmy in the playoffs. They like to run the ball.
Because he wanted to call what he wanted to call. Because that first year, Mitch actually had very good success. And then after that, he went away from what he did well. That's what you – like you know as well as I do. There's a lot of ego with coaching, and they want to show off these certain plays, and they get away from what certain guys do well. And Nagy, he did that with him, and he kind of did that last year with Fields. I'm not a Matt Nagy guy, because that offense to me was putrid.
It was disgusting with Fields. I'll say that. I think by the time Fields made that first start, I believe against Cincy, it was a terrible game plan. But last season, but I believe Nagy just knew the writing was on the wall. He was on his way out. But I will say Nagy, as far as between Fields and Trubisky. I still believe it's a feather in his cap with Trubisky, bro. Trubisky, I feel like I put Trubisky and Daniel Jones in the same boat. Because Trubisky went top 10, right? Probably like 11, 12.
He went second overall, actually.
I know Daniel Jones went like 7 or 6 or 8 or something like that.
Went 6, yeah.
Yeah, both of them I feel like are reaches. Just They reach for. With Daniel Jones, I see it a little more just because the guy's 6'5", he's a little mobile, more, you know, they both mobile, but I like the intangibles of Daniel Jones a little more.
Yeah, same here.
Bro, I don't like Trubisky. I'm sorry, bro. You had a stout defense. You and Daniel Jones' numbers look similar probably in your first 2 years, but you had a better defense. You had a top 10 defense damn near every year you was in. Maybe a top 5. I think they were the number 1 D1 year, Chicago, when he was Trubisky was there. So come on, bro. I want to hear that.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying that Mitchell Trubisky is.
I'm saying you will have him over brother. Jimmy's a 70% completion. I mean, a 70%.
I'm just saying, just for the situation now, with it being so late, I just don't see a realistic way or why they would do that.
I'm saying if I'm the Steelers, first of all, the Steelers need to do it right now. Like you said, yeah, if they wait to the deadline with what the Niners are trying to do, that's effed up. That's effed up. Now it's late. Late in the camp, season about to start in the next week or two. He'll be behind on the playbook. He probably won't even be able to start week one. I'm saying right now, if you're the Steelers, would you trade a fourth or fifth round pick for Jimmy right now today to get him now?
No, for me, no, because For me, it's basically like a lateral move, man. Like,
it's a better bridge. At the end of the day, you need a bridge.
He might be slightly better, but like it, like it's not like he's not like he's this a better substantial bridge, upgrade.
I believe he's a better bridge to Kenny Pickett, because at the end of the day, in the next year or two, they're gonna have to give Pickett a look because you took him so high.
I'm saying,
at the end of the day, Jimmy's a better bridge to Pickett than Trubisky would be, or Mason Rudolph.
I don't think so, because I think Mitch understands his role, and Jimmy would try and just win the job and just try and take over the team, which you should as a competitor, but when you're in a situation like that, I don't think Jimmy would be as perceptive to that.
Okay.
As we saw with, and as professional as he was with Trey, like, that's kind of why they were trying to get rid of him.
I got you, but I'm going with Jimmy.
I totally get what you're saying. And I don't want to make it sound like Jimmy can't play at all, but I'm just more of the mindset that's more of like a lateral move, and it's not a big enough gap between the two as players to where I would make that move.
Got you. Hey, man, before we got a little Raiders talk about here in a second, but I want to let our caller and our guest come on. Zoe, he's ready. We're going to talk a little bit about the Rams here. Like I said at the top of the pod, talk a little bit about the Rams and their training camp. Give me 1 second. Zoe? Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Zoe, what's going on, my guy?
You got me at a good time. I'm actually going to head out tomorrow to Rams training camp, their final. But yeah, it's a good time to talk about it.
Okay, so you're heading out to the final day of camp tomorrow?
Yeah, it's down in Irvine.
Okay. So how I know me and you talked about this off record a few days ago a little bit, but how's the energy out there, man? What's the vibe like? Do they look poised to repeat, or are they sitting on their laurels? What does it look like out there?
They're kind of a mix of loose but also focused, and I think what separates the Rams from a lot of teams right now is that they know when to balance it out. They know when to like be jovial, to joke around, to smile, try to interact with the fans. But when it comes to the team drills, that's when the volume gets cranked up. That's when you see not only like some of the star guys like Cooper Kupp or the newcomer Allen Robinson be trying to make some plays, but you also have the rookies, especially the late rounders, trying to scratch and claw, trying to make some plays and make an impact.
Gotcha. I forgot to also introduce you. I know I told you about my co-host situation, but my brother Keith McCoy is also on this phone call with us. Zoe, he had a few questions for you as well on the same topic.
What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, how's it going? So nice to meet you. I know it's through the phone, but yeah, I've known D-Lane for about four years, maybe.
Man, longer than that. So damn near going back to my high school days, right?
I'm showing my age, D-Lane.
This guy. My bad.
Yeah, I'm showing my age. Yeah, I've known D-Lane for quite a while. So I've kind of moved on from, I'm still a 24/7, but I'm trying to juggle that and also juggle the NFL and happy.com.
Okay, and that's why I told them I met you through 24/7, but I wasn't sure if you were still with them or not. Are you Zoe officially or no?
Yeah, I'm still am. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, cool.
You got a question for Key?
Yeah, actually. So I cannot remember a Super Bowl champion talked about less than this Rams team. That's also a product of all of the craziness of this NFL off season. I would probably say since maybe like the Broncos did it. When was that? In 2015 when they won. So it's been a while. But I guess my first question is, with that Rams receiving room, it's a very interesting bunch. because Van Jefferson, he just had a little bit of an injury. I think it was last week. And there's one player that I there's one player that I am interested to really see, and that's Tutu Atwell. He came out of Louisville last year. I think he was a second round pick. Have you seen anything of him? And then how does he look? And does he look ready? Because last year he was a typical rookie. The NFL looked really fast for him, and he was not prepared, in my humble opinion, for that level.
He said Tutu Atwell?
Yeah.
I could dive into that. So I'll put it to you guys this way. So Tutu looks completely different. And here's what I mean by that. He looks way more cut. I mean, I think last year, I want to say he was around 155, 154 for his first training camp. But now he's at a solid, like, 165, almost kind of borderline 170. He's shown that speed, and he's really showing that the whole, like, Liberty City, Miami scrapper attitude out in the two practices that I was able to check him out. Now, obviously, for Tutu, there's still, like, there's still a work-in-progress type deal to where, you know, if it's not going to be receiver, can he return kicks? And I've seen him, like, work with the special teams as well. But here's another thing that I'll add about Tutu Atwell. You have the Odell Beckham situation. And either way you look at it, even if somebody signs Odell, he's not going to be eligible to play till November. But Tutu Atwell, I look at it as a prime opportunity that he can actually establish himself maybe as either the fourth, or maybe considering Van Jefferson's situation, maybe the third. And so I feel like the focus has really, really increased on Atwell's end. And I also say that because we also have to keep in mind, he missed out the rest of 2021 with a shoulder injury. And around this time last year, he also had to miss, I believe it was like the first week of training camp, because he was on the reserve COVID list. So yeah, I feel like I'm sensing a more focus, more energetic and more of a scrapper side of Tutu Atwell from what I've seen.
Okay, that's awesome, because he was one of the question marks to me. I wasn't a big fan of his Louisville, but he was fun to watch. So,
what type of player are we talking about here, Keaton? What type of mold of player are we talking about here?
I would say this. So for how small he is, I thought he'd run faster than like he does in terms of like clocking. I thought he would run in the 4.3, but then he ended up running in the mid 4.44s. He's like, what, like 5'9", and like he said last year, is like 150 pounds, maybe, and that's being kind, like maybe. He's kind of like a gadget guy at Louisville a little bit. They used him on a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of bubble screens. He's definitely a guy that you want in space. He's not really shifty. He's more of a straight line guy, which is why I wasn't a huge fan because of that size. But when he has this crease,
he can hit
he's one of those guys that just doesn't get caught usually. So that's the kind of player that
So Tutu can actually be like the DeSean Jackson, or basically be what D-Jax wasn't able to become with the Rams.
Got you. Last season.
I definitely agree with that, because he can take the top off for sure.
Got you. Keaton, in typical fashion from my brother, he kind of jumped the gun there for me with my next question. But I actually wanted to ask you, Zoe, and I'm not sure if Atwell was one of the guys, but can you give me a guy on offense and defense for the Rams that you've seen so far in camp that's a no-name / bubble player that we should keep an eye on? Because we know preseason starts here in a couple of days, and a lot of teams are keeping their main superstar core guys out right now. Who's some bubble no-name guys that we should be keeping an eye out for with the Rams right now that you've seen in training camp?
It's weird, because my first pick on defense is actually a rookie, and this guy is like really, really caught my attention, and I think I kind of mentioned his name to you, but Jacoby Durant from South Carolina State. He played a PU ball, like he really balled out there. But he's been this all hog. He's kind of almost been like the guy who took the flag for Jalen Ramsey on the interception there. I mean, he really put together a very, very impressive training camp. And I feel like I mentioned his name because I believe he fell all the way in the fourth round, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, and obviously another stigma that's kind of unfortunate for not just HBCU guys, but FCS guys in general is like people look down and they immediately bug the top group that they have. But it's like, well, Durant was going against some scrappers on Saturday, and Deion Sanders himself even endorsed to Kobe Durant right after the Celebration Bowl. When you have an OG and a legend endorsing you, that means you're a legit football player. So I think he's somebody who's probably one to keep very close on, maybe in that same position that Jalen Ramsey plays so well with Durant. Now, offensively,
hold on, hey Zoe, did you you kind of went in and out right there at the end. So did you say he's more of a slot nickel guy, or is he a corner outside guy?
He's more like he's a slot guy. Like I figured that he's probably going to be more like a Troy Hill for the Rams.
Got you.
He's probably going to be like somebody who could line up over against slots. But who knows? There's also this as well. Darius Williams is with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was the number two corner opposite of Jalen Ramsey. There's still a spot that's been vacated by Darius Williams. Maybe Durant could take that.
Okay. Okay. Who's been getting those CB2 reps that you've seen so far in camp?
So it's been a rotation of three guys. So Durant's one. Robert Rochelle, another FCS guy from Central Arkansas, who was a draft pick from last year.
Oh, that's my conference, though. That's my conference, Central Arkansas. So that's the Southland Conference.
Man, you really like that field, right?
Yeah. So they usually solid. Central Arkansas usually got a couple guys. They solid.
Was that a comfortable field to play on?
I believe we lost to them my last year, and I want to say we beat them the year before. They had a dope field though. They had you know, that Boise State type field. You know how Boise's all blue, their field's all purple.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was easy to look at. But then again, I got used to looking at Boise State's field and then Eastern Washington. So
yeah. It was cool to play on, though. It was cool.
Rochelle's actually put together a very solid training camp, and I think he's another guy, kind of like what the situation is with Tutu, that he understands in year two, it's pretty much like you have no choice but to go up, or somebody's going to take the spot that you were originally slated for. So, Rochelle, you have Durant. I'm also going to throw in Darion Kendrick, the corner that they drafted out of the University of Georgia. He's been very good feisty in training camp. He's also been another one who's impressed, especially when the Rams go with like a press man situation as well. Like Kendrick's really impressive in the press coverage. He's even gone toe-to-toe against Allen Robinson, and granted, A-Rob's won the better end of it, but it's like, you can tell he comes away learning so much from going against A-Rob.
My only question about him is, because he can't really run.
You know, honestly, it's interesting you bring that up, and I'm starting to think about this a lot more. It's almost as if Raheem Morris has him purposely playing like press man just to kind of hide that weakness of, you know, getting like basically playing deep. And then the fact that there's been a rotation with guys like they moved Durant around. You have Troy Hill playing one of the safety spots, Terrell Burgess as well, and then you also have Nick Scott out there too. So maybe they're purposely playing that coverage just to try to build his confidence before they get into, like, you know, the deep stuff, like basically like going against like Cooper Kupp and also preparing for like some of those deep passing attacks. But, you know, Kendrick's been a scrapper for the most part.
Wow. Okay.
So, what have you heard? First off, what have you seen so far with your own eyes from last week in practice as far as referring to Matt Stafford's arm? And what are you hearing as far as tomorrow, as far as is he practicing? Are they kind of shutting him down right now? We're hearing a lot of different reports about his arm right now.
Yeah, I can clearly hear. So they are allowing him to throw, but they have him on what you would call a pitch count. And so I'm thinking what's going to happen is they're probably going to put a cap on how many times like he can throw the football. And either way you look at it too, like they're heading into a game week against the Chargers, and it's most likely that John Walford, and you're probably going to see a lot of Bryce Perkins as well, who as you guys may have remembered, he was last year's training camp, or basically a preseason year for the Rams. So I'm thinking what they're going to do is, like, there's still some tendonitis issues with his throwing elbow, and he's more like a specialized sleeve over his elbow. But I'm thinking, like, they're going to purposely try to save him from that.
Okay. I have one more question. So there's this one player that I loved in college, but he was always hurt until his last year, and I thought that they stole him in the third round last year. His name is Terrell Lewis. He is a pass rusher from Alabama. Last year, I was kind of surprised that he didn't find some way into the rotation. So I wanted to know what you've seen from him and what you expect from him moving forward.
Yeah, he's also another one coming back from an injury, but it also looked as if, like, he kind of tweaked that same injury. But, he's another one who's, like, looking more and more regret. And, you know, him, Justin Hollins, these guys are more motivated than ever before because, like, they're hearing the whole chatter of, well, Von Miller had to come in, and, do you guys need, like, another Von Miller, that sort of thing. These guys are out to prove that, you know, they didn't need Von Miller all along, that they were able to provide that rush. But it's like, well, Hollins and Lewis, it's like, you know, there's still that injury concern. And, I mean, Lewis still looks like very energetic, very confused, like, during practice. But it's like, well, I mean, there's still the depth concerns, because outside of those two, you have Leonard Floyd, the veteran, and then you have Chris Garrett, last year's seventh rounder. So it's like, you know, there's still not much depth at the outside linebacker spot.
Man, that young man cannot stay healthy.
He said he can't stay healthy. Man, that's
not
crazy.
At all.
Zoe, you know I love my DBs, man. My DBs and my DBs battling. J Ram, man. How's the 1-on-1? Have you seen any 1-on-1s with him and Cup and A Rob, or who's he been lined up with the most in practice?
You know, like, so I think it was Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday. He finally put on the pads, and he was able to go, like, toe to toe against A Rob briefly. But I think another thing too with the Rams is, like, you guys know about his shoulders and how he underwent surgery. So he's another one. They're kind of treating it like how it is with Matthew Stafford, where they're trying to limit him.
Gotcha.
But, you know, they're also, yeah, but here's what's crazy about Ramsey. It's like, I feel like that this is the first year in his career where he's kind of taking on more of a coach's role. It's almost like he could be like a grad assistant, or maybe like some kind of student assistant on a college program, because, like, he's pulling Darren Kendrick, he's pulling Dakota Durant, even Robert Rousseau to the side, getting those guys nuggets. And these guys nearly absorb what J Ram is saying to them, and you see the translation on the football field. So it's almost as if J Ram could be a future, wear a headset down the road.
I can see that.
Honestly, that would not surprise me.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. Got a couple more last two questions here for you, Zoe. With the AFC and the NFC, we know you cover and look into the Niners a little bit. Who's your favorite to win both those conferences this year, man? What's your outlook on the NFC and AFC West conferences? Who you got to, divisions? Excuse me. Who you got to win those divisions?
All right, so I'll just say this real quick. I honestly think whoever wins the division in both conferences. All right, let me rephrase. Whoever wins the NFC West, whoever wins the AFC West, those two teams are going to be in the Super Bowl. And in the NFC West, I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers. I'm giving them the slight edge right now over the Rams. And I say that because of the fact that this defensive line is ridiculously loaded. And then you bring in Drake Jackson, who could have been, he looked like a first rounder to me. And then, there's also, another guy, there's Jordan Willis, who could have been, elsewhere, but, you know, he's been a fabulous role player. Kimoko Ture, who I think is a very, very underrated addition on the 49ers defensive line. Also, keep it in account, you got Trey Greenlaw healthy, but you also got Emmanuel Mosley and Tre'Davious Moore together, and those guys are healthy. And I had to put in the DB angle just for you, D-Lane, because, you know, Mosley, you got Ward, And then you also got Andrew Thomas, who really emerged late. So, you're 3 years with the 49ers, especially in a division that's flooded with receiver talent. It bodes so well for the 49ers, especially with that defensive lineup.
I'm going to keep a sharp eye on the Niners this year, Zoe, especially their secondary, man, because Sherman just recently came out, Richard Sherman, and gave them the nod for this season, saying that they should have a dominant season. So I'm definitely looking forward to see how they will be in the secondary. Matter of fact, Zoe, when you went to check out a Niners camp, right?
So I haven't gotten a chance to, but I talked to some people who were there.
Cause I was gonna ask you, how's the poly safety looking? The I can't think of his name right now. How is he looking right now?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things that he's putting together a very, very solid showing over in Santa Clara. But here's what's crazy, Dwayne. That safety spot that he's battling, it just became a tougher uphill battle now more than ever. Here's the reason why: Tavarius Moore, who's been with the 49ers for a while. He's actually one of the leaders of the clubhouse in interceptions for training camp, and he's been fighting for that same position. And you also added George Odom, who comes over from the Indianapolis Colts, who is also a Pro Bowler as a specialist. He's also battling for that spot. And then I'll also throw in Diamador Lenore out of Oregon, the fifth rounder. He's also put together a very solid showing in the months of July and August. And, Lenore's also buying for that slot position that Kayvon Williams had. So this is honestly a secondary. As much as we talk about the 49ers defensive line, I feel like the secondary deserves a lot of love, too. There is an abundance of depth in that unit.
Mm.
And they can finally play man, too.
Man. So you picked the Niners for the NFC West. Did you pick an AFC West?
I'm going to rock with the Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh, to win the division?
That's a popular pick lately.
I love the Taylor Jones addition, and then you pair him with Max Crosby or the Colby Calvert, and you have Devontae Adams. I honestly look at it also in this light, guys. Derek Carr, you're going to see a Derek Carr you've never seen before, maybe not since the Fresno State years. You're just going to see rejuvenation. You're going to see this killer instinct in him, because his boy is officially on his team again, Devontae Adams. And then you have Hunter Renfro. You have Darren Waller, who's in his prime. Josh Jacobs, as we know, can catch out of the backfield. I mean, I know it's a loaded division. I know Kansas City reloaded. I know the Chargers top to bottom have a very strong roster, but I know we talked about this Dwayne. There's still the speed element that the Chargers look like they're still missing. And I kind of saw that when I visited their training camp, but I just feel like that from a roster standpoint, like the Raiders are definitely not a team to sleep on.
I know I told Keaton, I don't know if I told you, so my only question mark with the Raiders, I like all the offseason additions they made as well. I got a question mark with McDaniels, man. Like I don't question his play calling, his schematics. I just want to know, can he lead men and be a better leader of men this time around with his second gig? So we'll see. But I definitely like everything they did this offseason, though.
Maybe it's lessons learned on McDaniels, and it's like, maybe him being fired from the Broncos was almost like the best thing to happen to him, because he learned some valuable lessons, but we'll see if it actually incorporates.
Got you. I got last two quick ones for you, Zoe. You got anything, Keaton? Anything?
Nah, man, I'm good.
I know you brought up Oregon a few minutes ago. I know our guy went undrafted. Who picked him up again, Zoe? The McKinley kid that you was telling me. I know somebody picked him up.
Oh, Ron McKinley?
Was it it was the safety. It was
was it the Vikings? I can't remember now.
Somebody picked him up, and I remember, they picked him up like right after the draft, and I remember you was telling me about him. I like this tape, too, so I was just thinking about him a minute ago when you brought up Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon's producing some DBs. That's what's unique about the Ducks.
Facts. Last one I got for you, Zoe. Have you seen in any of these camp practices, have you seen or are you looking forward to attending any joint practices?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to try to make my way back down to Irvine. I believe it's Cowboys and Chargers.
Ooh.
You know, yeah, that's supposed to go down, I believe, the 17th and the 18th.
Okay.
But yeah, like, you know, that, I mean, obviously there's a lot of hype with the Cowboys as well with that roster, you know. Also, you know, who knows, maybe they add a receiver with the James Washington situation. I think it's Michael Gallup who's also banged up, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I heard he's back on track, though, to possibly play sooner than later, Gallup. Man, okay. Zo, you got to, hey, man, please shoot me a text if you end up catching any of those joint practices.
Yeah.
Got to bring you back on, man, so we can deep dive into that. I want a little insight on
Send you some photos, send you some DVD nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah, I want some insight on Diggs and Micah, man. So, you know, that's the option.
And also, don't forget, Nation Wright.
Too. Yeah, come on, man.
Yeah, the area.
Laney alumni, man. The Wright brother. Yes, yeah. Sir. Hey, so thank you again, man. Always great insight. Love having you on, man. Looking forward to discussing a lot of football with you this season, man. As we said before, Zo will be a frequent guest throughout the season. So thank you again, Zo.
And also, I want to shout out Ray. I mean, I heard about his promotion. I've heard that, you know, he has a really good job, and obviously being married not that long ago, so. You know, he's been ascending. He's been moving up in the ranks. So, you know, shout out to Zay real quick.
No, for sure. Shout out my brother Zay, man. Yes, want to thank our guests. Our special guest again was Lorenzo Reina. Thank you again for that deep insight on the Rams training camp and more. Let's get back to it, Keaton. Go back. Let's start back with another local. Our Oakland, Las Vegas Raiders. Hall of Fame game. See anything you like? I know my only question mark was, what the hell was Josh Jacobs doing in there in the game? And then I remember he's in a contract year, and they did decline his fifth-year option. So,
Two things with that. One, I think the Jaguars as a team, they look the part. But as it pertains to the Raiders, I like that they played him. I like that they played Josh. So Josh McDaniels, he comes from that New England tree, as we all know. They play everybody usually. That's kind of the mode. I know he's trying to bring in a little bit of like the newer school tactic by not playing Derek Carr and Tay Adams and Waller. But Josh Jacobs, he needs to play. He's been good, but he's had some knick-knack injuries, and there's been questions about him being in shape sometimes. And by all accounts, he hasn't been that impressive. And this regime did not draft him, and they declined his fifth-year option. Could they be showcasing him? Maybe. But I think overall, they just want him to prove it to them. That's what I took away from it. I'm more of glass half full with that more than skepticism.
Yeah, I think I said it on the last pod. I was actually a fan of Jacobs. Didn't know much about him at first coming out of Bama, but then I watched the tape. Then I realized, he doesn't have much wear and tear on the body coming out of Alabama, not having many carries. Thought he had a pretty good, solid rookie season. And then after that, just the last two, 3 years, I just believe he's just been getting nicked up here and there. Can't stay healthy. I think yards per carry has gone down each year. I think primarily due to the injuries and getting nicked here and there. But he's a downhill runner. I believe McDaniels, if he wants to, I believe he can utilize him in the pass game a little more than who's the last coach? Than Gruden ever did. I believe Gruden never used that aspect of his game enough, at least, or utilized that enough. Because I actually like his hands and like him out the backfield. I'm high on Jacobs, man. I really like Jacobs, especially when he's healthy. But like you mentioned earlier, as far as McDaniels and the regime he comes from, I see why they played him now, and I think it's more so telling as far as what you're gonna see from the season as far as McDaniels and the Patriots way is usually running back by committee, right? They usually get a bunch of guys touches whoever is hot, that's who they go with, bell cow for the game or whatnot. But it's usually by committee. I believe this year they're just gonna try to run them into the ground. Use him up. You declined his fifth-year option. I don't see him picking it up just because at the end of the day, he's not the exact type of back. He's more of a downhill, powerful runner. He's not the exact type of scat back, receiving back that McDaniels would ideally like in his offense. So I see him just getting 300 to – believe me, you know, passing game is going to be heavy because you got Devontae and Waller. Essentially 250, you know, I see him get some good amount of touches this year, running them into the ground, and he's going somewhere else next year. I wouldn't mind my Eagles picking them up.
As a backup, I could see that for Philly, but
shit, he can start for us, man. Sanders be pissing me off, or he could be behind 1-2 punch either way, because him and Sanders are a little different to me. Sanders is a little more scat back, but he's just inconsistent.
Jacobs is a better runner with the ball for sure. He's really violent. I think that just comes from his background because he was living in a car at one point when he was in high school. So he's one of those guys that just has this story with a lot of anger. And he runs like he's trying to like escape that life. But I think it's going to be a very good year for him as long as he stays healthy. That's basically just been his issue. But everybody, I think, is making a little bit too much of how he had like 5 carries. I just think he's at a point to where he has to prove himself. He had a very good rookie year, but since then it's been kind of, because, I mean, I'll just give you a sneak preview. He's not going to be in my top 10 running backs, even though he has that type of ability, but he's not going to be in mine.
What's the name? Jacobs,
yeah,
he would have been like a year or two ago for me. I was really high on Jacobs like his rookie year. I did like him. Shoot, perfect segue. Let's dive into our rankings, man. It's still ranking season for us. We've done quarterbacks. Keaton set the internet on fire with the receivers ranking, putting Tay Adams at number 9.
Yep.
I'm excited to see what the hell you got going for running backs. Just to let you know, I give you a little more credit and a little more leeway as far as having an eye, or you should at least have an eye for running back talent because you played and seen some of the best of them growing up, including myself, if I must say so.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, so I just got to let you know.
I'll always give you that for sure. I will always give you
Thank
that.
Thank you, brother.
When it comes to running the ball, in terms of like a teammate that I've had, I've never had one better than you. I will say that for sure.
I was solid. Moneyball was another good one.
Of course.
Yeah. Let's dive into these running backs, man. I'm excited to see what you got going. Do you want to start from the top or do you want to start from the bottom and work our way up?
I say we just be consistent and start with number 10.
Okay, let's start with number 10. You go first. Go ahead.
All right, for me, I got Aaron Jones, 10th.
That's no. I thought I had him 10 too. That's cool. That's solid. I like Aaron Jones, man. Can't complain.
So I know you have to value the passing game and stuff now because that is very crucial. But I still like guys who are true to that position, which is running the rock. And when it comes to the better defensive lines and like the better teams, he's usually nowhere to be found when it comes to that, because he's a smaller guy. He's not great in between the tackles. But he is really, really good. He is a dual threat and I like his game. I just don't love it the way some other people do, but he is a top 10 running back. And honestly, there's not a lot of notable running back talent in the league right now just because of like the offenses and stuff. So that might be saying something as to why maybe a guy like him is on this list when probably like 5-6 years ago he would not have been. But he is number 10 for me. He is a really great talent, and yeah.
Yeah, I like the pick. I actually lost my train of thought earlier on the point I was mentioning, but I actually like Aaron Jones because he's and you're starting off good for me so far. Because my point earlier, what I was gonna say was I actually banned Zay Ass from talking running backs on the podcast because I think we did a top five or a top 10 running backs list of all time, maybe a year or two ago, and Zay shit was just outlandish. I don't even remember what he had. He might have put Emmitt Smith in his top two or three, and I was just like, "What?"
Really?
Yeah, he had LT pretty high, and I was arguing with LT, but when I had to look back at the numbers, I was like, damn, LT was a beast, LaDainian Thompson. But, no, his list was kind of outrageous for me personally, and that was running backs all time. So that's another topic, but that's my guy. But let's start with number 10 for me. You went with Aaron Jones. It's funny, I couldn't settle on one. I kind of got three here, and one of them is actually his backfield mate. I like A.J. Dillon, man. So for 10, I kind of went Eckler, A.J. Dillon, and Jacobs. Jacobs when he's healthy. I told you, I'm really still high on Josh Jacobs when he's healthy, but I'm going to not put him in there. It was really Dillon and Eckler. Couldn't really make up my mind. I love Eckler's dual threat ability. He's in the perfect situation as far as with a guy like Herbert that can really utilize his pass game and his threat in the pass game with his hands. And he's also a good runner, real good balance and vision. And then I love Dillon, man. So you know my type of backs, man. I like the complete back, but I still like the beast mode, the backfield runner, put his shoulder pads under your chin strap type running back. You feel me? You'll hear about how I feel about Chubb in a few minutes here, but Chubb is pretty high regarded on my list. Actually, my top three is pretty much downhill runners, but and you know I still like the scat backs. So a few years ago, my favorite running back was Saquon Barkley at the time, as far as when he first came into the league, just because he could do it all. You feel me? Great balance, vision. He was damn near like the best running back draft prospect I ever seen in my life, probably of all time, probably after Barry. But he just couldn't keep it. Just pure running back. He was nice, bro. I don't know. Me, I love Barkley, but he just can't stay healthy. I think
Adrian Peterson at Oklahoma was a little different.
AP was nasty too. But I'm talking about numbers wise too. Numbers wise, AP was a freak too, though. Like you said, AP was different. I like complete backs. But I gotta go with I like Dillon, man. I like Dillon. I feel like I said, running backs, I feel like are situational based as well. It's all about the situation. I feel like if A.J. Dillon was somewhere else where he was getting 20 touches a game, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry type touches a game, he'd be in the conversation of top five, top seven type backs, bro. I like A.J. Dillon.
Honestly, for 10, it was a coin flip for me between him and Aaron Jones. The only reason I put Aaron Jones in front of him, because toward the end of the year, Dillon was the one that was getting those touches. The only reason why I didn't is because Aaron Jones is still getting paid, and they're going to get as much as they can out of him for paying him that money. So
if we got time, we got a topic later with A-Rod, but I actually believe they should go more 20 personnel, use both those guys, because
Aaron they should
on the field next season at the same time, use both those guys, because Aaron Jones is a real threat in the pass game. So, that's for later. Number 9. Who's your number 9?
Javonte Williams from the Denver Broncos. I love his game. He is smooth, and there's nothing he can't really do. Like, this is going to be a constant theme for most of these guys. They're all pretty complete. But in terms of, like, the rookies last year, he was my favorite. I know Najee, he got more – he has more touches and all that. But unfortunately for Najee, with that offensive line, he can't really showcase what he really does. And that's kind of in parallel to what like Derrick Henry is. Like, if you don't let him get ahead of steam, it's kind of over. But anyways, Javonte Williams, love him. I love his game. And I believe that he can be a top five run running back in the next two years or so. He's really good. I love his
game. Yeah, when you brought him up to me a few weeks back, I thought you was crazy as far as just saying, like, I think he was the best back in his division, and you were just saying he's a great runner. I got to go back and watch a little bit more of him. I remember hearing about him last year. You know, I don't watch many Bronco games. But I'm going to go back and watch him, man, because I have been hearing a lot about him just as a pure runner. Like, I hear he's pretty dominant. So I'm not mad at that. My number nine, I believe this guy's top five still talent when he's fully healthy, but he's just been nicked the last few seasons. I'm going to go with C-Mac, man, Christian McCaffrey. I still like C-Mac. And people were down on Darnold getting on the Panthers, Matt Rhule and everybody last season. Man, they was 3-1, I think, or started off 3-0, 3-1, something like that. Defense was playing top five, top 10 football in the league those first few weeks of the season. And why? They had C-Mac, man. And C-Mac was averaging 112 yards from scrimmage per game those first few games before he got hurt. So he was on track to have another big season. I believe when he's fully healthy, he's a top five talent at the position. So I got C-Mac at Christian McCaffrey at number nine. McCaffrey. I'm tripping right now. My bad. Long day. Christian McCaffrey. Excuse me. I got Christian McCaffrey at number nine.
I love that. For me, number eight. So, this guy's the only guy that's a backup that's on my list, but I think you would agree he's still max, and that is Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt, I think we all know. So, I'm a guy when it comes to that position. Well, it's really all of them, but especially for that one, legs and ass guy, dude, with that speed to power. And he's so good in the passing game. When he was a rookie, he led the league in rushing. He's a threat from anywhere. He doesn't have quote unquote home run speed, but for some reason, when he's in the open field, you cannot get him on the ground. I have him eighth. He could be higher if he was a starter, but that's where I have him at. I just love his game. Anytime when Nick Chubb leaves the field, a defense does not get a break with him because you're not really losing much.
No, that's facts, bro. Probably will have him honorable mention for me, but I definitely love Kareem Hunt's game. Great back. Definitely love Kareem Hunt's game. Number eight for me. Yeah. You mentioned this guy earlier, AJ Jones, versatility. Gotta love this guy. Can do it all. Pass catch and run the ball between the tackles. Just a super versatile guy. Swiss Army knife. You can arguably say in the last two, three seasons in the playoffs for the Packers, he's been their best player. Not Aaron Rodgers. He's been their best
100%.
Player in the playoffs. So who you got for seven?
Christian McCaffrey, you already went in on him. He's their best player. He's the key to everything for them, no matter who starts at quarterback, which I think it should be Baker, but hey, that's a whole different topic. C-Mac, he's special. Like you said, he's a top five talent. For me, probably could be a top three talent, honestly. He's that good. He just has to stay healthy. But unfortunately, as you get older, you don't get healthier. So this looks like this might be a trend for him. So I don't see his ranking ever going up just because of that. But he is a top five talent. And it just sucks because he's so much fun to watch that it kind of looks like he's on the downward slope with his body.
No, facts. Let me do my seven and six. I'm gonna go back to back here just because they both Bay cats. I got Najee at seven and then I got Joe at six.
I also have Joe at six too.
So sweet. Okay, so we're on the same wavelength here. love Najee's game. The more I look at last season for him, I have a greater appreciation for what he did last season. That offensive line was terrible. It's been terrible the last few seasons. Loaded box, damn near the whole season. Everybody knows you're running the ball with Najee. Ben's arm was shot. Ben Roethlisberger's arm's been shot for the last 2-3 seasons. Not really pushing the ball downfield like that. And he still got 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns last season. So got to have some respect there for Najee. I think his ceiling is actually slightly higher than Joe's. I got Joe higher right now because I believe Joe's the more complete back. I like Joe. But as far as just if we talk about running back and especially pure runner, I feel like Joe's more of a complete back. But if we talk about pure runner and Najee's, I say Najee's pass catching game, and the pass game is underrated for sure. I'll definitely say that. He's not a Joe. Joe at one point, I don't know about now, but like college days and early NFL days, damn near could probably play slot. He probably could play slot. He was nice. Got better in pass pro last year too. And when you think about it, last season for me, that's the worst O-line I ever seen in the Super Bowl. So when you think about his 5-6 year career in Cincy, they've never had an O-line. So, and he always produces. So that's another feather in his cap. So yeah, I got
that's something that I always say with people about him. It's like Saquon in Saquon's rookie year. Yeah. When Saquon was still him, like, he's just surrounded by crap. That's why y'all don't understand, bro. Like,
so I was telling, brother, I called it. I said it that next year because he went for like 2K all around purpose yards his rookie year, Saquon. I was like, bro, I'm willing to bet my last dollar on it because I think it was Eli's last year, Saquon's second year. I said, they're going to run that boy into the ground. He's going to get hurt. I was like, I know he's going to get hurt. It's guaranteed, and I was knocking on wood and everything, bro. Like, I didn't want to wish that because that was my favorite running back. I love Saquon. I just knew the situation, bro. The situation surrounding him was terrible. You got a quarterback, veteran quarterback on his way out that can't really throw the ball like that no more.
You got rid of Odell too, so there's no threat in the passing game.
That's when I really said it. I was like, when Odell was gone, I was like, oh yeah, they about to hand the ball off about 30, 40 times this man again.
And that's the worst offensive line in football, but period.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I will disagree on, I think Joe is a better runner just because he is more elusive. He has better footwork.
He's more elusive, brother, but he don't. Joe run too up. It's been like that since high school.
Yeah.
Najee was like that in high school, too. I think he got better at Bama. Joe still runs too upright for me personally. Like, he doesn't run behind his shoulder pads enough.
That's fair, but for me personally, that doesn't bother me. But that's just me. But anyway,
that's a stylistic thing for me. Stylistic.
Yeah. But, anyways, I like those picks. I love Najee. I just didn't have him in my top 10 just because he's like surrounded by crap. And I think the crap can be too much to overcome at times.
It went for 1,200 last year, brother. 1,210 tugs.
Yeah, but now with the new quarter, I'm not saying he can't do it. I just have to see it because that's just going to be a tall order, especially in that conference and in that division. But anyways, number five, I have Dalvin.
Who's Cook. Your 7-6? You said Joe was your 7-6.
No, Joe's 6. I had Christian McCaffrey.
Okay, my bad. Who's your 5?
5, I have Dalvin Cook. Dalvin.
Got Dalvin Cook 5 too, brother.
Yeah, he's the linchpin of that team, man. It's so weird. Because at Florida State, I thought he was so fast, and then he got to the combine because I thought he would run like 4.3. Like that's how fast. Like I thought it was, and then he ended up running like high to like mid 4.45s, and or like 4.46. I was like, wait, what? But he's just one of those guys when he has the ball.
Feet.
He just man. He's different.
Yeah.
And people try to knock him because when Alexander Mattison comes in, he's just as effective. But it's like, no, like, he's also really, really good. Like, if he was a one somewhere else, like, we would probably be talking about him as a top 10 running back. So I love Dalvin. He makes Kirk Cousins' job a whole lot easier. And he is a threat in the passing game, too.
Jefferson's job, too. He helped Jefferson's job, too.
He does. But, yeah, that's Dalvin for me at five.
Yeah, man, I got a feeling we might have the same top five. But, yeah, I really don't have to dive deep on Dalvin. I feel the same things you just said. Great vision, quickness, and agility is ridiculous. I seen the speed. I seen more so quick shiftiness in college. I didn't see this vision in college. His vision now in the NFL, and I don't know if it's the scheme thing that he played in the last few years, but his vision is crazy. And I can see him the same way I had Cooper Kupp. I have Justin Jefferson taking that Cooper Kupp like next step next season, like Cooper Kupp had last season. I can see Dalvin Cook having that Todd Gurley like type performance in this offense, because he's a dog, man. It's mainly zone running base offense, that McVay tree, and I can see Cook eating in that offense with his vision, the cutback lanes. I know when I was a running back, that was my I love zone running versus gap blocking and gap scheme, just because of the cutback lanes. Yeah, I can see Cook eating and having a big year in that offense.
100%.
Number four.
I got Alvin Kamara.
Me too, bro.
And he's my favorite running back.
I can see that.
I love Kamara. He is my absolute favorite. He's the one guy that can consistently line up in the slot or line up out wide. Higher route tree. I love that about him, but he's also a violent runner too. He's physical. He's not a burner, but he has good enough speed. And he's just a natural football player. And I know that's a loose term, but he's just a football player. And I love that about him personally. And since he's year four, I think you can just take it on from here, honestly.
Yeah. Well, hold on, cause I got to speak on AK47 too, cause he's special, bro. Alvin is special, and it's crazy because, like you said, he's not a blazer. He's not a blazer by any means at all, but he's quick as hell. First of all, that's first and foremost. But if you're a listener of the pod, I want you to do something, cause like we said, I'm a running back connoisseur. I love my running backs, man. I want you guys to go back and watch Barry Sanders tape. Right? I'm not saying he's Barry. I'm not saying none of that. Just in this one aspect, just listen to me. Follow me here. Go back and watch some Barry highlights, and all you gotta do is watch the highlights because it tells you what type of runner they are in the open field and what they can do with the ball in their hand. At the end of the day, watch Barry's YouTube highlights. As far as in my lifetime and what I've seen, the closest I've seen to a running back of Barry's ilk has always been LeSean McCoy. And Shady's my favorite running back. Me personally. But if you watch career highlights of Barry Sanders and watch career highlights of Alvin Kamara, as far as when it comes to balance, contact balance, and making defenders miss and just shedding defenders all around. I don't know any other way to label it. Bro, it's second to none. I've seen this guy get hit 2-3 times at once, bounce off, keep running.
He's a dog, bro.
He's the closest person. Basically, what I'm saying is, I've never seen anybody do the shit Barry's done. The closest I've probably seen is Shady. Next after that is Alvin, bro. Alvin is nasty, bro. I got big respect for Alvin. Alvin's number four for me. I love Alvin's game.
Number three, this will be my shocker, quote unquote.
And he was sorry, brother. He was fifth last year in broken tackles per carry, and he only missed a few games last year with a foot injury.
Dude, I honestly he's my favorite running back. Like, anytime I have fantasy and I try to have like the first pick, like, that's the dude that I want. Like, I love his game. just quick story with that. Can you imagine if he stayed at Bama with him and Derrick Henry? Like, that would have been crazy.
Who else was there? It was a few. It was like four or five of them.
Tenpenny. So it was those three, and then unfortunately,
it was another one. It started with a T. The one that was at Miami, I think.
When those three were there,
running back. It was like four of them, brother. It was like four or five running backs there at once with Alvin. It was the one that he played. Oh, I can't think of his name right now.
Oh, that was Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
He was a year above them, I believe.
Yeah. That room was thick. Top three. Rip off your top three, because I think we got the same top three.
It'll probably be in a different order. This will be my shocker, because I think most people would have this guy one. But I have Derrick Henry three. I have Jonathan Taylor two. And I have Nick Chubb one. I have King Henry three, because as dominant as he is when he gets going, he has to get going. If you can get in the backfield before he gets going, it's pretty much over, because he's not laterally quick enough the way these other two guys are, but he is violent. He is strong. He's solid in the passing game. He has good hands, but he's not as good as these two guys are. Pretty much anyone else on this list for me.
Yeah.
But King Henry, in terms of just dominance and what he does, I think he's the most dominant running back. Two, like I said, with JET, this guy is a home run hitter. He's the one guy on this list that has that home run speed from anywhere on the field. He's a 4-3 guy, and he runs like it, and he's violent. He gets better in the passing game, but he's not great. But he's definitely better, and he's solid in pass pro too. I think with what he showed last year, that in those first four games, they definitely messed up, and they should have given him the ball more, or else the Colts would have been in the playoffs. But that's just me. And one is Nick Chubb, because I think for me, he's a little underrated, even though people have him top three or four.
Yeah, underrated for sure.
It's just because I think because he's in Cleveland also, and he splits time with Hunt.
Yeah.
And they don't run him into the ground, but his balance, legs and ass, dude, like he can just break, there's so many times when I'm thinking, oh, yeah, like they're going to tackle him. But he just keeps breaking tackles like with ease. And like, guys just bounce off him, bro. Like it's not even like he has to like get back. It's like he never loses balance. I don't know. Like, he's so smooth.
Bradley, these top three in the order I have them in is Chubb, at least for right now, Chubb, Henry, and Taylor, one. But all three of these guys is cut from that old school type of. They like some old school
100%.
Type. You feel me? Like hard nose downhill. I love Chubb. I think over the last 2 years, he's averaged 5.6 and 5.5 yards per carry.
Yes.
For a big guy like Chubb and to be more considered of a downhill runner, he's another guy that's underrated for his hands as well. But speed as well, just breakaway. As far as he ranked second last year in runs of 20 yards or more, you feel me? So he can bust them too. He can break them. I think he had in his three of his four seasons, I believe he had in each season he has a 70 yard run or more in each season. So it lets you know that he can definitely take it, go the distance with it. Number two for me, I had Derrick Henry. Motherfucker had 2,000 yards last year and the year before, and then last year he was on pace for 1,900 yards if he didn't get hurt. One of the very few running backs that probably the only running back, because we can't say Chubb just because he splits carries and we haven't really seen him do it, and we can't say Taylor will probably because his team just refuses to give him the ball. But Derrick Henry might be the only back that we can say can really just go in week in, week out and get 30 carries a game. 30 carries. I ain't talking about 30 touches.
Yeah.
You feel me? A lot of times I say touches. Yeah. That means catching and running. Derrick Henry might be the only running back in the league that you can really just get 30 carries week in, week out to. I believe if I was the head coach, I would be giving the motherfucking ball to Taylor that many times. Me personally, I feel like this year, mandatory minimum, Jonathan Taylor need to be touching that ball at least 20 times a game, bro. I don't know what the coach was seeing last year on tape. It made no sense to me, bro. I don't understand. Like, he should have been up there with Najee. I think Najee led the league last year in carries. He should have been up there, like, by far and away. But I love Jonathan Taylor's game. Like I said, breakaway speed is definitely faster than what you think, for sure, with that guy. So, yeah, man. A lot more parallels than I expected right there.
I mean, with this position, especially like the top five, like, it's pretty clear cut. I mean, the, like, receiver, I understand, like, the Davante Adams thing for, like, most people. So, like, I get it. But, like, receiver, like, there's 20 top 10 receivers, honestly. Like, if someone said Keenan Allen was top 10, I wouldn't think that they're crazy.
I will say, receiver, and I mentioned this before, receiver, running back, and corner, I believe, to me, are the main positions that kind of shift more so year to year. I still care about your resume. You know, I'm big on resume, but I can see that more shifting year to year just because, you know, injury.
Those are young guy positions.
Yeah, exactly. D-line, edge rushers, O-line, and quarterbacks, that's more like who's been doing this shit, you feel me, and can stack these years on top, and you can look back, because anybody can have one good year at, you feel me, at those, I can't say anybody can have one good year at passing, but we have seen blips of quarterbacks here and there come and go. What we got, man, what we got?
Oh, let's see, we have weapons list.
Weapons. So we got five. So this topic, me and Keaton been talking about it over the last two pods, just, you know, bringing up different dynamic playmakers, guys that get busy with the football in their hand. You know, what my guy Shady McCoy like to say on I Am Athlete podcast, crazy work. Guys that's giving out crazy work feel in their hand, man. So we put together a list of five. I'm going to let him rip through his five. I'm going to rip through my five, and then we can discuss it. But these are our top five guys that we believe with the ball in their hand in the open field are the most dangerous cats to face.
All right. So first off, I want to do an honorable mention. That is Justin Fields, Nick, and Nick Chubb. Those guys were close for me, but they ultimately did not make it. So anyways, without further ado, I have Jonathan Taylor at five. I have Lamar Jackson at four. I have Ja'Marr Chase at three. I have Deebo Samuel at two. And I have Tyreek Hill at one.
Hold on. I was writing something down. Boy, you went quick. Go again one more time.
Jonathan Taylor at five. Lamar Jackson at four. Ja'Marr Chase at three. Deebo Samuel at two. And Tyreek Hill at one. And also, Ja'Marr Chase is faster than, like, Deebo. And he runs like a running back, but Deebo is just a straight running back when he has that rock.
You got Lamar a little too low for me personally. But I like it. I like it. I like Taylor too. Because, like I said, sneaky. Like, he shot me last year. I didn't see that. Running backs, man. But hold on. Before I get into mine, running backs coming out of college has always been tricky for me. Just because, like I said, it's situational based. Like, I remember a lot of guys being high on Trent Richardson. I wasn't high on Trent Richardson coming out just because and it wasn't even a vision thing for me, which it looked like it ended up being one of his main downfalls in the NFL. He had terrible vision.
Eating too much.
That too. But I always was like, he's not a violent runner to me. Like, it's guys that run through cats, and it's guys that absorb contact and let guys just bounce off them. You feel me? That's kind of what Derrick Henry does too. He ain't a guy. He ain't like a Marshawn, an Adrian Peterson guy that's gonna put his face mask into your shit. You feel me? Like, those are downhill smash you type runners. You feel me? I don't see that. You feel me? You get what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, my top five though. My top five. I got an honorable mention too then. Shit, you put one together. I got a few cats. I would like to put Chase on there. I would like to put Cook on there, Dalvin Cook, Jamar Chase, and then I also got to put Kyler on there, brother. I'm sorry. Lil Bro, he for sure ain't the fastest in the league, but the way his little short ass be moving them feet, he just be he be gone. He just be moving hella quick. I like his quickness. I think he
would be quick. Like third or fourth on my honorable mention list, yeah. But I have Justin Fields in front of him.
You think he faster than Kyler straight line? I believe Kyler's quicker.
100%.
I think Kyler quicker, though.
Yeah, barely.
Okay. Yeah. Justin don't look that fast to me. I ain't seen him in the open field.
He's legit 4.3 guy, bro.
For real?
Like legit 4.3.
He ran at the combine?
Dude, he's a legit 4.3 guy, bro.
Shit.
Put it like this.
He got some good size on him.
Fields is this type of athlete. Like what Kyler did with like baseball, if Fields did not tell MLB teams to not draft him, he would have been a first round pick in baseball too. Like he's like that as like an athlete.
He is South kid. And
yeah, he's from Georgia.
Gotcha. Man, Georgia, Texas, they be putting out them dual athletes, man. I'll give them that. They got dual athletes for sure. So that was my honorable mention, Jamar Chase, Dalvin Cook, Kyler Murray. Yeah, for me, my top five, though, with the ball in their hand in the open field, got to go AK-47, Alvin Kamara. Kadarius Toney is number four. You know how I feel about Toney. He just don't get the looks. But if you ever get that boy in the right situation, human joystick for sure for the Giants. Kadarius Toney, I like him. He's number four. Number three, got Deebo Samuels. Love Deebo. Perfect combination of strength and power. Runs with a rage, a running back like rage. He runs with that Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch type rage. Excuse me, but he's a receiver, so it's just lovely. A great Swiss Army knife type of weapon. I got him number three. Number two, gotta put Lamar, bro. Cause to me, I got Ty Hill number one. Ty Hill moved different to me as far as with the ball. No, he's one of the cats one of the few cats that I've seen take a slant and weave through traffic. Not just take a slant, there's nobody there and he can just go. I'm talking about weaving through cats and pulling away. You feel me? Look like video game type shit. Lamar Jackson can do that as well. And he's been doing that since college. Like Lamar would be gliding. With him, it looks more effortless. With Ty Hill, you can tell he digging. You feel me? You can tell he grinding, he digging, he running. But with Lamar, because he's a little longer and taller than Tyreek. So, of course, you know, longer strides. But, yeah, Lamar just be gliding. Boy, I love the way Lamar runs the football. But I got him, too. I got Ty Hill number one.
The only reason I had him four is just because I think last year, he lost like a fifth of a step. That's why I put him fourth. But I don't disagree. Like, that's like, you're not wrong. Like, I just had him fourth. I mean, Kadarius Toney, he's definitely worthy of being on this list. The only reason I didn't is just because I have faith in Brian Daboll. To put him in better situations, and I think Kadarius Toney is also in a better headspace this year. I just have to see him with the ball. I mean, he's such an unknown about just where he is in that offense and like where he is with that team, because at one point I think they're thinking about trading him. So he is a human joystick. I would love to see him if he was in San Francisco, that with Brandon Ayuk and all that, like that would be something. But anyways, I have Jamar Chase third, and he's in your honorable mention. The reason why I have him third is because he had some plays this year that were just like, you just don't see that. It's like
he hit a different gear.
Yeah, like that play against Kansas City where he had the short comeback, and he outruns the angle of 6+ defenders. There's like one other guy in the league that can do that, and that's Tyreek Hill. But he runs like a running back too. Like, I just love Jamar Chase. I mean, I might be biased, but I love him with the ball. Jonathan Taylor, like I said, there's not a whole lot to be said with him. Like, he's just special. But, and you already agree with me on Debo. He's just violent.
Yeah.
He has that
perfect, just a perfect combination of speed and power as a runner.
He has that T.O. rage when he runs, because Randy Moss was like a glider, but T.O. just ran with like rage. Mm-hmm. He runs like that. He's like Marshawn Lynch, just pure rage. So I love Debo, bro. I love him with the ball. If he, which is smart because he chose to play reverse receiver, but he's the one guy that's at the wide receiver position. If he wanted to just play running back full time, like, he's the one guy that he can. Just straight up could. So that's why I have him second. Reeks won just because his speed, I think, is still a step more than Jamar Chase, even though it's not by like a lot. But some of the plays that he still makes, you just don't see. There's like a handful of guys in the history of the game that can really do what he does. And that list starts with him and Randy Moss. That's basically it. I mean, like, they're guys that can do it a little bit, like Odell when he was a little bit younger, Jamar kind of now. But that's basically it that I can just think of like right now.
Them cats is different, man. Shit, I think that's everything. We can say the A-Rod one for the next one. Yeah, we can say the A-Rod one for the next one. What you want to do? Edge rushers, DB.
Next week, I say we just do
rankings.
Oh, we got to do tight ends. So let's do tight ends, and then we can do offensive line.
All right.
Just finish off with offense, and just then sure. Move on after that.
Preseason, man. Who your squad playing this weekend? I know my Eagles. I got to call my bro JP. You know, he a Jets fan. We played them weak-ass Jets this week, Friday. I'm excited, man. I want to see a couple of our young cats, a couple of our bubble cats. I'm definitely excited to see our safeties because I know we got a safety position that's up for grabs right now. So I want to see how those guys perform.
You guys have a sneaky good cornerback tandem, honestly.
Bro, I think we got them there the best if we talking man coverage. The Slay is still top three, top five to me. If we talking about just strictly man coverage, he follows anybody.
Top five? Ooh.
Bro, I'm talking about strictly man coverage. Top Slay is still top five. I'll send you what he did, his numbers last year, what he did to cats and man coverage. And then two years ago, Pro Football Focus had Bradberry like a top five man cover corner. Coverage corner.
I don't know. I know it's just like great. He wasn't top five in like man, but I don't know about Slade. Top three to five, bro.
Slade top five, bro. It ain't many corners strapping like Slade.
I'll save my cornerback rankings for later, but that's
we might have to do that next. Then you always trying to challenge me. We're gonna have to do that next.
No, dude, I love Slay, but
Slay straps me, bro.
No, he does, but
they call him Big Play Slay for a reason.
I think that's a bit of a homer pick, right? But
just like all these young kids. You like rewarding young cats without their ass doing anything.
I mean, you'll see with my guys, like, they're young, but they've done shit. Like, you'll see.
Man, this shit. Like, you probably gonna put AJ Terrell, little young ass, on here. He cool, but he ain't no top 10 corner, bro.
Terrell, did you see what he did last year?
He was gonna have him on there. Look, I already know you, kid. We're gonna talk about it, bro. He cool.
Yeah.
You got.
I mean, you don't have a pass rush. I mean, and you did what he did. That says a lot. But anyways, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think we're good, brother.
All right.
All right, my guy. Have a good one, man.
All right. Later, brother.
We play for keeps, Cuddy. You ain't heard about the huddle fire with no with D-Lane. We tryna get it off the muscle. Walters caught the pick and ran it back without a tussle. Blow the whistle, coach, it's time to get back to the huddle.